More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. The closing shows of the Skylight Music Theater's current season also mark the end of an era for the theater. Their staging of a new production of the Gershwin's classic Porgy and Bess also marks the last production under the artistic direction of Bill Tyson. It's a stripped-down production. The cast in some productions can number as many as 70, but Skylight's rendition includes only 15. This production is Skylight's first staging of Porgy and Bess, and it's the first Milwaukee production of the play since 1989. Bill Tyson spoke with Lake Effect's Bonnie North about why he wanted this production to end his own run at the Skylight Theater.
From the first day I got there, I knew I wanted, at some point, I hoped the Skylight would be able to produce Porgy and Bess. In our 54-year history, it has never been done on the Skylight stage. And it's such an important work, the most, I think, important American opera ever written, and really perfect for us to do. But has its own challenges, of course, that are different from any of the things that we normally do. So it's incredibly exciting to be bringing it to the Skylight, both just for the first time and as my final production as artistic director.
Well, what are some of those challenges?
Well, primarily the casting. We were able to find quite a few talented singers here in the Milwaukee area, but we also had to bring in quite a few people from out of town, which we do on a varying basis from show to show. But because the cast is primarily, with the exception of one cast member, African-American, we had to look beyond where we normally look for a lot of our casting needs. And that's just a challenge for us. Also, this is the opera version. It is not the version that was just on Broadway last year. This is the opera version, a chamber opera version, which is specifically suited for the Cabot stage for our 358-seat theater. But it is an opera version. So finding the opera singers who are available, Milwaukee doesn't have the largest operatic talent pool, so we often have to bring in opera singers from out of town, and the specific needs of this show were even greater than normal.
I think a lot of people might not realize that there are more than one version of this opera, that it is both an opera, a folk opera. It's also a musical theater piece. Now, did Gershwin create all of those different pieces, or were those created after he wrote the initial show?
It premiered in 1935, and initially the entire piece was done as a concert version in New York, and it was over 4 hours long. It then moved into a Broadway theater, and Gershwin made many cuts from that initial version into the production that played on Broadway. And it's always been, for years and years, it's been debated, is it a musical? Is it an opera? It really is an opera. Over the course of that time, Gershwin always wrote it with recitatives. There was no spoken dialogue except for the characters who are not African American. They do speak. In all these years since then, the past 80 years, many different versions of the piece have been done, taking the recits out, adding dialogue in. But this is the opera version. This truly is the opera version. Gershwin did a lot of different cuts in his life. I mean, he only lived 2 more years after the show premiered. But in his time, he did some different versions of it. We're really sticking true to those cuts that he initially made, Gershwin himself made in 1935 when it moved onto the Broadway stage. But he always considered it a folk opera and truly an opera, an American opera. And I think that is indeed what the piece is. And as time has come to tell, at the time people weren't sure. But over these years, it really has evolved into truly an operatic form. There was a production on Broadway just last season that was kind of a reimagining of the piece that did bring dialogue back into it and took a lot of liberties with the piece. Different people had different opinions about that piece. It did win the Tony Award for Best Revival on Broadway. But that definitely was a musical theater version of Porgy and Bess. Our production is a chamber opera version of Gershwin's original work.
And, of course, the songs that come out of that, a lot of people know Summertime. I think it's probably the most famous song of that. But what are some of the other wonderful Gershwin tunes that came out of this?
Well, there's I Got Plenty of Nuttin', which is probably the second most popular tune from it. Bess You Is My Woman Now, which is a gorgeous song, a duet for Porgy and Bess to sing as well. It Ain't Necessarily So, which is a wonderful song that the character of Sport and Life sings to open Act 2 in our production. It's just chock full of amazing tunes, and but yet it's all written together as a total piece that Gershwin looked at. There's an amazing quote that I found from Gershwin that talks about when he was writing the piece. He visited Charleston, South Carolina, where Porgy and Bess is set, and he was talking to a reporter from the newspaper there, just beginning the process, and this is how he described what he thought the work would be. Gershwin said himself, "Porgy and Bess will be a serious attempt to put into operatic form a purely American theme. If I am successful, It will resemble a combination of the drama and romance of Carmen and the beauty of Meistersinger, if you can imagine that. So I love that Gershwin knew at that point what it wanted to be. And when you hear the piece, if you're familiar with either of those two operas, you can hear that those were influences for Gershwin when he wrote Porgy and Bess. But yet it truly is his own. It sounds like nothing else. He had his own, that jazz influence. And it's just an amazing score from start to finish. And he created something that I truly think is the most important American opera of the last century.
One of the things, too, that I find very interesting about it is that there's always been charges of racism against it, too, because he was white, he was Jewish. You know, he was coming at it from an outside perspective and attempting to show African-American experience. Although I believe the libretto was written by an African-American. Is that true?
That is not true.
Is not true.
No, it is not true. It was DuBose Hayward, who is a white man who grew up in Charleston and really lived in the world of all of the characters that he wrote about. He initially started out as a novel. The novel Porgy came out in 1925. Then he and his wife created a play version of that novel in 1927, and then the opera came in 1935. So there was no African American involved in the writing of the piece. And I think at the time it was interesting because it played all over the world. And back in the 40s and 50s, they were concerned that this is what they were showing to other parts of the world. This is what they assumed all African Americans' lives were like in America at the time. But it was such a seminal piece for the music and for what Gershwin had created. But there has been controversy, not as much now, but up until the 1970s, it was a very controversial piece in the fact that did it really just create stereotypes of African American people.
So how have people mitigated that? When you do a production of this, I'm sure it's something you have to think about.
It definitely is. But I think what's important to look back at is it's Charleston, South Carolina in the early 1930s. It is depicting the lives of these people as they actually were then. It wasn't the best time. It was a challenging time on many levels. But like many pieces that we look at that we go back to, I think it's important to be true to what was happening historically at that time, which the creators of this piece were. When it was a little closer to that time, I think it was harder to differentiate that. But now that we can look back that it's almost 80 years since it was written, it does make a very big difference into the world of what we're looking back at and that it is historically correct. And it might not always be easy to watch, but like many things we look at now, look at the show, the musical Showboat. It's very similar in that way. A really important piece of musical theater, a groundbreaking piece back in 1927. And the themes of that were not very well received at the time as well. But now it really is an important historical and theatrical piece, as Porgy and Bess is as well.
So when you bring that forward into 2013, what are some of the challenges in making it relevant to an audience today, other than just the gorgeous music?
Well, it certainly is gorgeous music. But I think, sadly, a lot of the themes are still there in many, if you watch the evening news, a lot of the themes of prejudice and those kind of things are still with us today. They may be taking different forms, but a lot of the basic themes are items that we're still dealing with today. So hopefully it will shine maybe a new light on that, and maybe we can learn something from history in what we learn in Porgy and Bess, and maybe make that come through in some way today. I think that's an important part about the piece and many pieces of its genre.
As we said at the beginning of this interview, this is your last show as the artistic director. I assume that you're going to be coming back.
That certainly is the plan.
Yeah.
The reason I'm leaving, it felt like it was time for a new chapter for me in my life, and also probably a new chapter for the Skylight. It's been an incredible 9 years. I have learned a great deal. I hope I've contributed to the Skylight and to the Milwaukee arts community, but I wanted to go while I still loved it. So many colleagues over the years said, gosh, I stayed a year or two too long, different arts administrators, and I didn't want that ever to be the case for myself. And it felt like this was the right time for both myself and the company. But the Skylight will always be a part of my life. My first show was back in 1981 in the Chorus. So it's been 32 years of relationship with the Skylight. And I don't think that's going to end now. It will just take another turn.
So what is next for you?
What is next is I have been appointed the director of opera at the University of Iowa starting this fall.
Congratulations.
And thank you so much. I am really looking forward to it. I've done a lot of guest work in universities around the country, both as a stage director and teaching master classes. I love working with university students. And I do have a history at the University of Iowa as a guest there for the past 15 years. So the opening came up for the full-time position, and I applied and was accepted and feel incredibly fortunate to have the opportunity. I always hoped at some point in my career to spend some time full-time in a university setting, and now that opportunity has arisen, and I look forward to it greatly.
Well, Bill, it has been wonderful the last 7 years of talking to you, because that's as long as I've been here. And I'm going to miss having you sitting across from me on a regular basis. But I do hope you'll stop by when you come back to guest, whenever that happens to be.
I would love to stop. And thank you, Barney, for all of your support of Skylight. And it's been a great 7 years for me as well.
And break a leg on Porgy and Bess.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bill Tyson is the stage director and choreographer for the Skylight Music Theater's production of Porgy and Bess, which opens tomorrow. The production will end his 9-year tenure as artistic director at the organization. New artistic director Vishwa Subbaraman takes over the position next season. Tyson has been associated with Skylight since 1981. He spoke with Bonnie North, and there is a link to more information about the production from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One last break, and then a new magazine prepares to launch in Milwaukee with a singular, delicious aim. We'll learn more in a moment on WUWM.